Children, what do different people eat? Babies drink milk, sometimes from a bottle. But grown-ups eat meat, like steak and strong food with spices and so on. Now, kids, what would you think if you saw a grown-up man like your dad or the pastor drinking milk from a baby bottle? You would think something was very wrong. You would wonder why that grown-up had gone back to being a baby. You would wonder what went wrong with that grown-up's thinking. And you would know that someone should say to that grown-up, "Stop drinking from a baby bottle. That's not good for you. You need to grow up in your mind again and start eating grown-up food." Well, kids, Christians can be like this too. God feeds us spiritually with His Word that we read in the Bible and all the things it teaches us. There are baby Christians whom God has just saved. Their souls need to be fed on the simple things of God's Word and Christ's gospel, like Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, and He rose again from the dead. Or even simpler, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." This is easy to understand and handle, like the baby drinking milk. Grown-up Christians need to be fed on the things of God's Word that are harder to understand, but that make us even more able and ready to serve Jesus. This is like the grown-up eating the strong grown-up food. This is the way it's supposed to be. But when a grown-up Christian slips back and he's only able to understand the baby Christian things again, and he's not able to help teach baby Christians things from God's Word that they need to grow, it's like a grown-up man drinking from a baby bottle. Something is wrong. Someone needs to say to that grown-up Christian, "You need to stop slipping back to the baby stuff again. That's not good for you. You need to get growing in the things of the Lord and be a grown-up Christian again, so you can be more useful to the Lord and help baby Christians grow." Well, kids, that's exactly what our Bible passage this evening does. It tells the grown-up Christians that very thing. It tells grown-up Christians who have gone back to acting like baby Christians that they need to get back to learning the grown-up things of God's Word and Christ's gospel. Now, you are little children. It's time in your lives to be drinking the milk. Stick with the milk of God's Word for right now, and soon you will be ready to be fed with more solid food for your soul from God's Word. Congregation, it may be difficult to explain to children about spiritual stagnation and backsliding, but blessedly, the good illustration that the writer to the Hebrews used comes in very handy, and not just for the little kids, but also for you. And for you as well as it did for the Hebrew Christians of that day. Now, what is the blunt truth that the writer is using that illustration to illustrate? Just this: a rebuke is due to Christians who are in spiritual stagnation because of their neglect of biblical truth. Now, we're going to see tonight the rebuke issued and illustrated. First, the rebuke issued. And I'm tempted to say, fasten your seat belts, because it's going to get perhaps a bit rough from here. But the rebuke issued, that's our first point this evening. And it begins with the rebuke administered. The writer writes, "Concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." There it is. Now, what was the writer saying to the Hebrew Christians? It's as though he said to them, quote, "I've just proved and confirmed from Scripture that Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah and our Savior, has fulfilled all that the high priesthood of Aaron's line foreshadowed. I've just proved that He is our great high priest by calling, qualification, and work. I've just proved that even though he's not a Levite, he's still a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I would like to tell you all about how Jesus fulfilled all that Melchizedek foreshadowed and how he performs a Melchizedekian kind of priesthood. But it's a real shame that it's so hard to explain these somewhat advanced doctrines to you because you don't understand them or you can't handle them. And now you're finding out that on account of it, you cannot handle the tougher trials of obedience either. That's because you have quit growing. You have become spiritually stagnant in your Christianity. End quote. Ouch. Isn't this too harsh a rebuke for persecuted people who are wavering in their faith? Well, the inspired writer to the Hebrews didn't think so. And that is because the Holy Spirit did not think it too harsh a rebuke. You have become dull of hearing. Now, that did not mean they couldn't hear sounds by the ear. It was a figurative way of saying that they lacked understanding of the things they heard. What's more, they did not pay attention to the things they heard. Worse, it meant that they were indifferent toward the things they heard, as if they were bored and just didn't care to hear, pay attention, or understand. As a result, they slipped back to the point of ignorance. Now consider, it was the things of Christ, the gospel, and the word of God toward which they were dull of hearing. Sad indeed. Sadder still, they had not always been that way. Notice that it says they had become dull of hearing. Once upon a time, they had been attentive to what they had heard, taught, and preached. They had been interested in it, excited by it, thoughtful about it, meditating upon it, discussing it, and witnessing it. By the grace of God and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, they had understood it and grown in their understanding, faith, and life. But by the time the writer addressed them just here, they had become dull of hearing. John Brown very stingingly adds, quote, "When the gospel was first preached to them, it aroused their attention. It exercised their thoughts. But now, with many of them, it had become a common thing. They flattered themselves that they knew all about it. It had become to them like a sound to which the ear has become long accustomed. The person is not conscious of it, pays no attention to it. I am afraid this is a very common habit among hearers of the gospel in the present age." And let me insert here that John Brown was in the 19th century. "They have been accustomed to hear the gospel from their infancy. They fancy they know and understand it perfectly. And under this impression, if they continue to read the scriptures or hear the gospel, it is almost entirely without anything that can be called intellectual effort. They indolently assent to what their teacher states, but they do so in a way which makes it plain they do not understand it. They are not interested in it." End quote. In a word, the Hebrew Christians had become spiritually lazy, and as a result had become spiritually stagnant through their neglect of the things of the Lord and His Word. Now, let me point out several conclusions that we can now draw from this. One, spiritual stagnation results from spiritual arrogance. It is arrogant to claim that you know all about the gospel and you don't need to soak up anymore. It is arrogant for any Christian to imagine that he knows all about the gospel or the whole counsel of God. Spiritual stagnation, number two, results from spiritual carelessness. And a third principle, spiritual stagnation results from spiritual sloth. That's another word for laziness, right? Spiritual stagnation leads to backsliding. You see, in Christianity, there's no such thing as maintaining status quo. You are either moving forward or you are sliding backward. Stagnation is not moving forward. Ergo, it is moving backward. Brothers and sisters, this is a rather sharp rebuke, even though administered in a somewhat understated way. Now the question must be, what about you? Through arrogance, carelessness, or sloth, have you become spiritually stagnant? You who once were growing, progressing, and prospering in Christian faith and life so well. Has spiritual stagnation taken over? Have you become backslidden? Search and examine yourselves in the light of God's Word. If this is you, then receive the rebuke that the Word of God administers. You have become dull of hearing. The rebuke was administered. But the sting of it did not end there, because it continues with the rebuke expanded. The writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God." Now notice that he said, "by this time." In the original language, this gives the impression that it is quite some time, some years in fact, since the Hebrew Christians in general had been saved by the grace of God and had professed faith in Jesus Christ. One would think that under normal circumstances, they would have grown and matured in their understanding and strength of their faith. Instead, he told them, as a result of their dullness of hearing, they had not matured to the point that they were capable of teaching and discipling immature Christians in the faith as they should have been. In fact, they had so regressed to a point of immaturity themselves that someone needed to teach them the ABCs of Christianity all over again. They had become incapable of understanding or figuring out the simplest things that the Word of God had to say about Christ and the gospel. That was particularly sad considering that, as John Brown wrote, quote, "The Hebrews had been for a long time favored with the gospel. To them it was first published, and of them were the first Christian churches formed. They had, some of them, heard Christ himself preach the gospel. They had enjoyed the ministry of the apostles. Their previous knowledge of the Old Testament revelation afforded them great facilities for obtaining accurate and extended views of Christian truth." End quote. In other words, they should have understood better than anyone all of this about how the priesthood foreshadowed Christ and Christ fulfilled it. And they should have understood much of the rest about the types and shadows of the Old Testament and their gospel fulfillment. It should have been simple stuff for them. The oracles of God had been entrusted to Israel, the Old Testament church, Paul said in Romans 3. He later told Timothy that carrying on that privilege and responsibility, the New Testament church is to be the pillar and support of the truth, as we heard this morning. They, of all people, being so intimately connected to both sides of that, should have had a mature and growing understanding of the doctrine of Christ and the whole counsel of God. And yet, that which should have been so clear to them and such a consolation and joy to them had become obscure. All of this because of spiritual stagnation through spiritual arrogance, carelessness, neglect, and sloth. Once again, I would say this is a stinging rebuke indeed, brothers and sisters, well deserved and much needed by those in that condition. A due rebuke even to persecuted and weak in faith Christians, even in the midst of encouraging them overall, as this book does, to keep them from apostasy, by bringing them around to understand and be settled deeply in the conviction again, as they once had, that Christ is better. Doesn't it make sense that they ought to have been rebuked so that they might realize not only that their weakness of faith and proneness to the temptation to apostasy were their own fault, but also that by the rebuke, they might be made to realize what they needed to do about it, namely, start growing in Christ again. And again, the question must be asked, what about you? Are you due a rebuke because after all the time you've been a Christian, you are spiritually stagnant, weak in faith, and back to spiritual infancy? But now, with the rebuke administered, let's see the rebuke illustrated. And this is our second point this evening. And it begins with the metaphor and its reference. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, verse 12 says. Well, after the introduction to the children, which was a little longer this evening than they usually are, I don't think we really need much explanation here. You know what the milk is, the very basics of the Word of God, the things we teach the little kids around here. Well, what about the other? Our translation contrasts milk with solid food. That's the words that it uses. Now, this is one occasion where I prefer the old King James. It says meat. Strong meat. It really gets the point across that time in the Christian faith should bring with it Christian maturity in the Word of God and the things of the doctrine and gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian maturity that makes you able to handle being fed the strong meat of God's Word and able to digest it so that you can also respond to the tough trials in life with loyalty and obedience to Christ instead of apostasy. Time in the Christian faith brings with it Christian maturity when you spend time and effort in the Word of God, the increasingly deep things of its doctrine and gospel. For the writer to say, you have come to need milk and not meat, to people who have years and maybe even decades in the Christian faith, gave even a little more sting to that rebuke. Some of you have years and even decades in the Christian faith. Are you still only drinking the milk? Are you still on the baby bottle? Do you still have to be spoon-fed on pablum? Or worse, have you worked your way up to the meat in the past, but because of spiritual carelessness, sloth, and stagnation, regressed to milk? I mean, what is it for you, milk or meat? Consider for a moment the partaker of milk. Verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. This one is clearly identified as a baby Christian. But according to all that we have seen in the context so far, it clearly must also apply to the one who has stagnated and therefore regressed to the level of the babe. The baby Christian who only drinks the milk of the Word cannot handle what the text calls the Word of righteousness. Now, I take this to refer to the whole Word of God, including both the gospel as thoroughly dependent on the righteousness of Christ and the moral righteousness that it teaches, which faith in Christ produces in the Christian. Sadly, many of the Hebrew Christians were not accustomed to the mature, meaty things of the Word of God and had to be called babes. The writer called them babes, at least in part, because he realized that they were still holding on to the things of the Old Testament ceremonial law that were ingrained in their Jewish lives from before their conversion to Christ. And so they did not like the taste of some of this stronger food about how the Old Testament high priesthood was no longer needed due to Christ's fulfillment of it. Listen to what F.F. Bruce writes. Quote, "The immaturity of the people addressed by our author, which caused him to doubt whether they were able to appreciate his teaching about the Melchizedek priesthood of Christ, was due to a disinclination to press on in the Christian way. Their sluggishness showed itself in a disposition to settle down at the point which they had reached, since to go farther would have meant too complete a severing of old ties. To such people, the exposition of the high priestly service of Christ, with the corollary that the old order of priesthood and sacrifice had been abolished once for all, might well have been unacceptable. The intellect is not over ready to entertain an idea that the heart finds unpalatable." End quote. What about you? Are you the babe who can't tolerate anything but milk and pablum because you are too afraid to sever old ties of inaccurate doctrine or old ties of sin? Old ties of sluggishness and sloth by which you just don't care to forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead and press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? For you, is it milk or is it meat? Finally, consider the partaker of meat. Verse 14, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Maturity in the Word of God and growing conformity to the likeness of Christ takes practice in and practice of the Word of God in both belief and conduct. The practice of the one feeds the other. Jesus said in John 7:17, "If any man is willing to do his will," there is conduct, "he shall know of the teaching." There's doctrine. "The teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself," he said. Psalm 1 reminds us that for the man in the blessed estate of salvation, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Practice, practice, practice through listening, reading, study, meditation, believing, and doing the Word of God trains the Christian senses to be able to discern between good and evil, between good and evil doctrine and good and evil moral conduct. Are you pressing on to maturity to be of greater service and honor to the name of the Lord? Are you growing, or are you stagnant and backslidden? Milk or meat? If you have been a Christian for years and it is still milk, or it is milk again, then brother or sister, you stand rebuked. A rebuke is due to Christians who are in spiritual stagnation because of their neglect of biblical truth. A somewhat sharp but due rebuke it is for all those who are caught up in spiritual stagnation. If you are, repent. Find your forgiveness in Christ. And out of love for the Savior, start feeding in earnest until you can handle the meat while you still do love the milk. But after all this, I don't want to leave you completely stinging with nothing but rebuke. So let's close with an encouragement to soothe that sting a little while it remains, or reminds all of us to press forward. And that's the encouragement that prayer is offered for you on this very matter, as we're told in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul prayed, where Paul reported on his prayer to the Colossians, and he said, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask, listen, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Paul's prayer for the Colossians, your ministers and elders' prayer for all of you. Amen. Let's pray. Our righteous and just Father, it is sometimes difficult for us, with our pride that gets in the way, to receive reproof and rebuke in the spirit that we should, in the spirit that you mean it. But Lord, we do thank you for the rebuke you have just given us, and pray that your Spirit will enable us to receive it with humility, heed it, and put it to work in our lives. Forgive us for Christ's sake for our spiritual sloth. Move us all to progress in growth responsibly and submissively according to what your rebuke, as a form of discipline toward us, should motivate us to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.